You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you've had a great week and you've got 2 weeks before my live show on July 13th at the Irvine Improv. Get your tickets now by going to improv.com. I've got great guests coming. It's going to be a great night out. Bring your friend, your spouse, whomever. You don't want to miss it. So July 13th at the Irvine Improv. This episode is packed. But first, I got to tell you, I watched the first episode of All Star Shore. This is on Paramount Plus. You can also watch it on Apple TV. So basically, it's reality TV contestants from Jersey Shore and Jordy Shore from the UK, Love is Blind, RuPaul's Drag Race, and Bachelor in Paradise. And they're all facing off in a variety of party-style challenges. So it's like Love Island meets The Challenge on MTV. So it's bananas. Like the first episode, the first night, they're going balls out. I mean, they're like making out with a stranger. They're so over the top. Part of you is like, are they doing this just to make sure they have screen time? But then the other part of you is like, I think they're legit this crazy. But I have to say the one sweet thing is that you get to see Blake from The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise in real time fall in love with Giannina from Love is Blind season one. So I think that's worth it just to watch that, because they're really sweet. So again, it's called All Star Shore. It's on Paramount Plus, and you can watch it on Apple TV. We have to talk about the Chrisleys. You guys know them from Chrisley Knows Best. If you're not familiar with the show, it's about Todd and Julie Chrisley, this married couple, and their kids, Chase, Savannah, and Grayson. And their show, Chrisley Knows Best, premiered on the USA Network in March of 2014. He has two children from his first marriage to Teresa Terry, Lindsay, and Kyle. So it's five kids, and also the grandmother, Faye. They're all on the show. And it's interesting because when the show first aired, I remember it very vividly. He was presenting himself as this mogul who had this dream of opening a department store, bearing the family's name, something that he could pass on to his children. And then it quickly changed season two to, I'm this television personality, an overprotective know-it-all, but caring dad, and kind of inserts himself into every aspect of his children's lives, his wife's life, and also his mother's life. So they became kind of like the darlings of the USA Network, got a huge deal with them, and were making a ton of money. So it was very surprising when it came out a couple years ago that they had some charges brought against them. And following a three-week trial this month, Todd and Julie Chrisley were found guilty on all charges by a federal jury this month and are facing sentencing on October 6th. So the backstory is that when Chrisley Knows Best began, he was already successful in real estate, and the Chrisleys were this affluent Atlanta family. and they used to run and own Chrisley Asset Management. So the Chrisleys now each face 30 years in prison because of fraud, tax evasion, and conspiracy to defraud community banks out of more than $30 million of fraudulent loans, according to the Northern District of Georgia's Department of Justice. And I know what you're thinking. Holy shit. This couple who kind of presents themselves as, my friend Catherine says, the most popular couple at church. And they got this mega TV deal, and they're like, they have a podcast called Chrisley Confessions, God help us all. That was the name of the podcast, where they're like giving parenting advice, life advice. He would put little like memes out on his Instagram of like, you know, how hard work and discipline and having faith makes it all work out in the end, despite all this going on in the background. So Julie was found guilty of wire fraud and obstruction of justice. Their accountant, Peter Tarantino, was found guilty of multiple tax crimes as well, as including conspiring to defraud the IRS, falsifying two corporate tax returns on behalf of Chrisley's company. So, Carrie Farley, special agent in charge of FBI Atlanta, said in a statement, "As today's outcome shows, when you lie, cheat, and steal, justice is blind as to your fame, your fortune, and your position. And in the end, when driven by greed, the verdict of guilty on all counts for all three defendants proves once again that financial crimes do not pay." So, before heading the USA Network reality show, U.S. Attorney Ryan Buchanan said that the Chrisleys submitted false bank statements, audit reports, and personal financial statements to banks to obtain the millions of dollars in fraudulent loans. The couple then used the funds to obtain luxury cars, designer clothing, travel, and real estate. And according to Buchanan, old loans were reimbursed through the use of new fraudulent ones. Which is crazy, because you ask yourself, why would you go on a reality show if you have all these skeletons in your closet? But we know, you guys, that everybody does it on these shows because they think they're above the law and everybody else. So in 2014, the same year that Chrisley Knows Best premiered, Todd filed for bankruptcy, while Julie falsified financial documents and lied to real estate agents in order to secure their luxury rental home in LA. Basically, in short, they were presenting themselves as wealthy TV and real estate stars, but not following the law. And this was all shown in court. So what's also interesting, and this I find so baffling, is that in 2019, Lindsay, so she's the daughter that Todd had with his first wife, she filed a police report in Georgia alleging that Todd and her brother Chase, so her half-brother, were harassing and threatening her with a sex tape of hers and threatened to release it if she didn't lie about a certain incident, which sources said must have related to the family's current legal troubles at the time, which were, of course, tax issues. So her dad, Todd, again, TV star, USA Network, Mr., you know, find your faith in the Lord and all of that stuff, gives this statement to the media in 2019 regarding his older daughter having an alleged sex tape, and that she said she was, that they were basically threatening her about it. So this is a statement to the media. To the media. "It's heartbreaking and shameful that these kinds of accusations have to be aired in public. We have tried to keep Lindsay's extramarital relationships with," and then he names the two guys, who were both contestants on Andy Dorfman's season of Bachelorette. "We have tried to keep Lindsay's extramarital relationships with Robbie Hayes and Josh Murray private for her sake since August of 2016, sadly, for reasons we can only guess at, she ran to the sheriff's office to accuse her brother of buying a sex tape of her and Robbie, which was a complete lie, and now she's telling more lies about me. Although our hearts are broken, Lindsay is our daughter, and we will always love her." I'm like, how messed up is that? You're asking yourself. I think my family is pretty weird, but this is pretty weird. You know what I mean? Okay. So then it goes further because Josh Murray, again, was a contestant. Actually, he was the finalist for Andy Dorfman in The Bachelorette. He said in his own statement, which is hysterical, "I know Todd and his family are going through some tough times right now, and I pray everything works out in their favor. They should probably focus on how not to be in prison for 30 years rather than spreading gossip to try and hurt their daughter. I truly believe they are good people and I wish them the best in however they choose to go about their actions." I'm like, what? This is insanity. So anyway, despite their charges, the Chrisley family's pop culture influence has only expanded because you know what's crazy? Chrisley Knows Best was renewed for a 10th season. E! Renewed a spinoff series, Growing Up Chrisley, with the adult children for a 4th season. A new dating series hosted and executive produced by Todd, titled Love Limo, has also been given the green light. I don't know how that's going to work out after a sentencing on October 6th. And they're also on house arrest right now. I like to add that too. There were a couple notable moments in the trial, which I found so interesting. Lindsay got the jury so riled up that several members reportedly had outbursts in court, if you could imagine that. Lindsay, she's 32. She's a mother. She's divorced and mother of one. So Lindsay all of a sudden then defended her father's name to the letter when she took the stand in the trial. She recounted how he backed her recovery for an eating disorder in the days before the show even existed on the USA Network. Again, you're asking yourself, why are you going on a reality show when your own daughter is suffering with an eating disorder? I don't think he gave a shit. Lindsay also claimed that he supported her brother Kyle amidst a period of addiction as well. Oh, that's true. The brother also from the first marriage had terrible drug issues. Who would go on a reality show when you have a daughter suffering from an eating disorder and a son who has drug issues? Well, he didn't give a shit about the first two kids. He only really cared about the other three because the daughter was like a pageant star. And he likes to mention all the time that his wife, Julie, is like an ex-pageant person, which is like, who gives a shit? Okay. So the jury gets riled up because they're asking her all these questions in court. And all of a sudden, despite all the paperwork and the things that they've uncovered in emails and discovery, she claimed that her dad's priorities are in the order of his children and his wife. I'm like, nice try, girl. Okay. However, the jury broke protocol in the courtroom because the prosecution entered emails into evidence, which I mentioned, showed that she was imploring the FBI for assistance in a restraining order against her dad in the months after his indictment. And in those messages, she called her dad a monster and claimed he was trying to exploit her via threatening the release of the sex tape. So when they asked her about it on the stand, which is obviously not matching up with what they see in emails, she became combative and sarcastic so much that her behavior prompted not only jury members to start speaking out in court, but also the judge herself. Judge Eleanor Ross reportedly cautioned the daughter, saying, "You're not doing anybody any favors by answering questions like that. Trust me. Trust me." Okay, also, did I forget that another point in the trial, Todd Chrisley was alleged to have had an affair with former business partner Mark Braddock. Now, anybody who's watched the show would go, well, that makes total sense. That tracks. In yet another major moment, it was reported that the USA Network stars borrowed over $60 million in order to support their lifestyle. So it took 3 days of deliberations for the jury to reach the guilty verdict. Again, sentencing is October 6th. They're facing 30 years in prison. If you want to go down their legal rabbit hole, and I suggest you do, listen to the Bravo Docket's latest episode because you can hear all the details of the government's case. And I'm telling they're grifters. They should go, you know, Chrisley the Grifters. That's like if they ever get out of jail or when they do get out of jail, they still have a deal with the USA Network, it should be called the Grifters. This episode is fantastic. I've got two great guests. One is Luke from Summer House. Luke is not going to be on this season and he just found out. And I wanted to ask him about how he felt about not coming back. And he's so darn sweet. He's like one of the nicest people I've ever interviewed. And by the way, off the show, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm nice to you just because my show's on the air. Like off the show, really, really sweet. And I was like kind of ribbing him a little bit about like, it must be kind of nice not have to worry about like being, you know, filmed while you're doing crazy stuff or having a mic on you when you want to barf or, you know, like that kind of stuff. So anyway, I caught up with Luke. And then I also have an interview with the director of Accepted. It is a fantastic documentary available on streaming and in theaters on July 1st. Don't miss out on this one. Okay, so here's the backstory. Michael Landry and his wife Tracy were determined to provide young and mostly Black students in rural Louisiana with the education opportunities that they couldn't successfully give to their own kids. So they created the T.M. Landry Prep School in 2005. And they had an unconventional way of teaching, long and rigorous days and nights of study, tough love, almost preaching the importance of hard work and discipline and sacrifice. These kids had no homework. There were no textbooks. There was no set schedule. They'd be there late until the evening. He wanted to create a culture of excellence and accomplishment. 100% of T.M. Landry students went to college. 32% of them attended Ivy League schools. And you were probably familiar with some of the viral videos of their students joyfully celebrating, exploding with joy, tears, receiving acceptance notices to some top U.S. universities, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, etc. So it put the school and the Landrys on the map. You know, there are questions of maybe this style of teaching works. Look at the results. So Dan Chen and his team decided to do a documentary about this unusual school, and they did. And continued filming even when an explosive New York Times article exposed the controversial teaching methods of this school and its dynamic founder. This one offers a unique and intriguing look at the world of Ivy League college admissions and the true cost of getting that first foothold into elite American society. So this is his first documentary feature. Director Dan Chen grounds a broader look at the inequities in the American education system with unbelievable access to T.M. Landry and the deeply personal stories of four dynamic students looking to overcome countless obstacles to achieve their dreams. I mean, your mouth is going to be wide open while you watch this. It's called Accepted. If you know of kids trying to get in college right now, you will. Even if you had kids that were in college a couple years ago, you will look at this with the most unique lens. I feel like I got a window into it watching my own niece get into school. I'm telling you, you got to watch this. I've been telling people who were in their 30s who don't even have children about this documentary, and they're like, wait, what? You got to watch it. Again, Accepted. So here we go. 2 years ago for my birthday, my friend Carlene got me the most perfect birthday gift, a Vuori jogger. Since then, it's become a staple in my wardrobe. To know me is to know I love Vuori joggers. And here's why I love it. The product is incredibly versatile. It can be used for just about any activity like running, training, swimming, yoga, but also awesome for lounging or weekend errands. You will love the way you look in all Vuori clothing. And ordering your new favorite items could not be easier. Their website will showcase all the great colors and for all of their soft and well-made clothes. And here's another reason I love it. Vuori is 100% offsetting their carbon footprint. They're also reducing and offsetting 100% of their plastic footprint from 2019 and beyond. And they are utilizing better sustainable materials for their products, empowering your best active life. And for men, know that my husband loves Vuori pants too. They're perfect for running and his go-to travel pant. Vuori is an investment in your happiness. And for my listeners, they are offering, get this, 20% off your first purchase. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/Kate. That's Vuori.com/Kate. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/Kate and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. So T.M. Landry, an unconventional prep school, received national attention for sending its students to elite universities, but a New York Times expose rocked the school, giving the students uncertain futures. Accepted, which I devoured, gives a fascinating look at the inside world of Ivy League school admissions and the true cost of getting that first foothold into elite American society. It gives a broad look at the inequities in the American education system with unbelievable access to T.M. Landry and the personal stories of four students looking to overcome obstacles. And with me is the director, Dan Chen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Talk to me a little bit about how you found out about this extraordinary story in school.
Yeah, I was actually working at a YouTube company, and the goal of the YouTube company, this was Jubilee Media, and since then they've done so much more. The goal was to kind of tell stories that resonate with young people. And so we actually saw the viral videos of T.M. Landry students getting into Princeton, Stanford, Harvard, Yale. And like anyone who watched these videos, you feel the joy, you feel the celebration in these videos. And so one of our producers, Jason, he noticed that they were all coming from the same school and that he just looked up the website of the school and called the school and got Mike Landry on the phone, who runs it. And he simply asked, like, hey, is there anyone following you guys? Is there anyone doing a documentary? And would you be open to one? If so. And so we ended up flying to Louisiana off of like a verbal, let's try it out, and ended up staying there for a week for our first trip. And that's when we met the students that we would ultimately end up following for the next year and a half.
Now, there were originally 10 students, I believe, that you sort of followed, and then you culled it down to those four students. What was it about those four that really stuck with you?
To be honest, they all stuck with us, which is why we followed 10 of them throughout the school year. I mean, they're all such like extraordinary, open, generous people. What ended up happening was, in the process of editing the film, we found that it's a lot to digest and it's a lot to process for audiences. I mean, we just gathered so much story. We gathered so many just precious moments that I still wish we could find a way to get them out to the audience. But what ended up happening is we found the four students that were the most specific in their point of view. They all have like varying points of view about T.M. Landry, about the college admission system, about their own experiences. And we found that having these four characters for audiences to follow gave the best representation of what it was like to be at the school, to feel all the different feelings without kind of overloading you with so many characters that you wouldn't be able to follow the story.
Interesting. So tell us a little bit about how this school was developed, that this couple that started the school, because it's a completely unconventional approach to running a school, operating a school, teaching students.
Right. So I'll tell you what I know. And what I know is Mike Landry and his wife, Tracy Landry, saw that their own children were not performing well in the schools that they sent them to. And so they decided they would try to take matters into their own hands and give kind of a homeschool type situation for their own children. And they also offered this up to other students, other children in their community. And so other families would say, oh, hey, you're starting something. Let me send my kid there because they're having trouble with this or that. And so from my understanding is it grew very organically over the years, starting in 2005. And by the time we arrived in 2018, the school has grown to around 150, 60 kids enrolled, paying monthly tuition. It's kind of become this big operation. But I think it started just simply in their house as kind of a homegrown thing.
How many teachers helped out with this program?
You know, I never got an exact number, but I remember when we were there, there would be Mike and Tracy, but there were also maybe a handful of other teachers. I want to say maybe six or seven other teachers there teaching different classes around the school.
And there's no homework. There's no set schedule. Students tended to be there quite late. Sort of pitching their program to potential students and parents and families, what is their philosophy? Because it seems like there could be big holes in certain subjects if there's not a specific schedule and there's no homework.
Indeed. I mean, that's super true. I think what the pitch is, if you're a parent and you're bringing your child and you're interested in learning more about T.M. Landry, is T.M. Landry will say, don't even worry about it. We're family. We got your back. You drop your kid off. You don't even have to think about what's going on. We'll take care of everything 100%. And then that's kind of it, hands off. And so I know that several of the students that we followed, they would basically say, like, that's what Mike told our parents, is they come home, they sleep. That's your only job, to take care of them when they're home. When they're here, like, we're their family. We're going to take care of them. And that's why I think there was a lot of, not a lot of transparency when it came into how the classes were run, what was being taught, what was being put on their college applications, because they kind of put it under this blanket, we're a family, we're going to take care of your kid type of situation.
So when the New York Times expose comes out, is that during the duration of filming for you?
That is actually in the middle of the school year. Yes. So we filmed,
oh my God.
We filmed from 2018 to 2019, and that happened in late November. So yeah, that was a stressful time for sure.
So when that article comes out, I'm watching and thinking, they must be freaking out. This was absolutely not what you had expected, but just take me back to that moment where it comes out. What did you say to each other collectively? Like, this is not what we thought it was, but let's just ride this out.
You know, it's a very complicated story, but I will say this. We found out about the allegations that were in the New York Times article, allegations of fraud, abuse. We found it out from members of the community, actually, before it came out in the New York Times. And when we learned about those things happening at the school, which we were not aware of, we honestly said, like, hey, should we even keep making this movie? Because we thought we were telling one story and we thought we were being helpful by telling the story. And now that the story is changing and the real situation on the ground with these people is changing, I think our immediate thought, honestly, was, how can we help? Can we help put you in contact with anyone? Can we help, you know, give you resources in any way we can? And some of the people we spoke to, they said, no, like, we're already talking to people. Those people ended up being the New York Times. And so, honestly, we just hung on for dear life, but we honestly questioned whether we should keep filming. It wasn't like I've been told many times from, you know, friends or people who've seen the movie, like, must have been a great moment when that happened, right? And the answer is no, it absolutely was not a great moment. We felt terrified and horrified and just wanted to help as much as we could.
I also wondered if there was a part of you all that felt a little bit betrayed.
There is an element of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because we formed a relationship with Mike during our first few visits to the school, and we felt like we were working in tandem in telling the story of these students who are going for these big college dreams, and hopefully, you know, whether the dream is for themselves and their aspirations or whether it's to help them support their families, we felt we were working with Mike towards that goal. And so it did feel like a betrayal when there were things we didn't learn about, things he didn't divulge, and things that were kept hidden from us, for sure. And obviously the actions that are being talked about, they are obviously troubling, and that didn't feel good either.
I also wondered about the students that New York Times expose experienced at those elite universities. Did they feel like they were well-suited once they arrived there? Did they feel like there was a period of time where they really had to get acclimated both academically and emotionally? Were they fully prepared? Did T.M. Landry prepare them?
You know, I think the answer is different for every student that ended up at an Ivy League. I will say that one of the students that we follow in our film, James, who ended up going to Yale, he talks about in the film, he talks about how it was an adjustment period, how, you know, it's a totally different culture. It's a totally different world that you're in. But he obviously, you know, when you watch the film, you'll see that he has the appetite for it. He has the hunger to challenge himself and experience new things. And so he says there was definitely a learning curve. And there are even sometimes kids saying, oh, you got enough affirmative action. Do you really belong here? And he's kind of saying, no, I definitely belong here. Because if I'm here, then I deserve to be here. So that's one story of one of the kids who got into these Ivy League schools.
Also, there are probably other kids at these Ivy League schools who have no business being there. Truthfully,
there's a lot of legacies. There's a lot of legacies, of connections. Yeah,
totally. So sometimes being scrappy in life, it gives you a far bigger, you know, pay, like a faster pace in the end. I I think that everyone's going to enjoy this because I don't know if you're going to come out of it the way that you think that you will. I think when you come, when it comes to this expose, you think, oh, this isn't what it was supposed to be. But in the end, I think everybody has the best intentions. It's just sometimes I think that you can get caught up in a lie. But I think that everyone wants children to have all the opportunities in the world. And I have some empathy for each person that you have in the story. And so for me, that is a successful documentary because I do feel like my heart is with each person that you had the good fortune of highlighting. So well done to you and to your team. This is a really good story. And by the way, an important story.
Thank you so much, Kate. It means a lot because we want audiences to feel like there are no easy villains or easy answers in this. There are only people that are looking to do the best they can.
Yeah. I really loved it.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having us on here and being able to talk about it.
So tell everybody where they can watch Accepted.
So Accepted will open in select theaters. So check our website, acceptedfilm.com. And it will open in select theaters on July 1st. And it will also be available on all major digital platforms, Apple TV, Prime Video, Google Play, also on July 1st. So be sure to pre-order, rent, buy, go to your local movie theater, etc.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateCasey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateCasey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/KateCasey.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Luke, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
First of all, I have to let everybody know that you're so nice that during the Winter Olympics, I was obsessed with the curling team and you put me in touch with the coach who does that. Thank you so much, by the way.
Yeah, Phil's a great guy. I mean, it's no big deal at all. And I'm glad you're able to chat with him. He's a great guy, the curling team. And curling as a sport is really growing. But the curling team's a group of great men, great women. They're really cool people. And I'm glad you're able to have that conversation.
So cool. Okay. So at last we heard they're going to start shooting for Summer House this next season. And you did an Instagram Live and you will not be on the season. Are you surprised by that? How are you feeling right now?
Listen, I feel good. I mean, I would love to be with my friends this summer and having a blast. But you know, unfortunately I'm not going to be there. But it's really allowing me to focus on a lot of the other things I have going on in my life. You know, like, of course I'm going to miss my friends. I love my friends. But at the same time, or most of my friends, I should say, but you know, at the same time, it's been so much fun and Winter House is coming out, BravoCon's coming up, and who knows, you never know. Maybe I'll end up, visiting them at some point throughout the summer if I have time.
So how much of a time commitment would that have been like, for example, this summer, if you have ancillary things that you're working on, like just give people an understanding of what a commitment it is to do the show.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like you still focus on everything you have going on in your life, right? I always have. It's just, it's to what extent that you're able to do that. You know, I have to travel a lot. A lot of my businesses and things I'm doing aren't necessarily in New York. So like all the time, at least. So for me, you know, I can do so much in Zoom meetings and stuff like that. So it takes away a bit from the, I guess, full capacity of what I could accomplish and get done. But at the same time, like that spending time with your friends and enjoying your summer is what summer is kind of supposed to be about anyway. So, you know, what gets covered and how much of that gets covered is not really up to you, but you have, you try and find a balance, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I remember last season feeling like I didn't see you that much on camera. Was that because you had so much going on with business? Was that a shock to you? Because it felt like once you watched the season playing back that you were surprised you were not in as many scenes as well.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know, it's, you know, there's only, you know, I go there and have fun with my friends and what, how everything else is done is not really up to me. You know, of course I was a bit bummed because I definitely feel like I have a lot going on in my life. And I would love to share that, with everybody and actually hoping I'll be able to do that with the things I'm working on now.
And Alex, we never saw him last season either.
You know, Alex is an awesome guy. I had a chat with him the other day. He's a lovely human being. You know, going into this group of friends is not easy. And I say that because, you know, it's not always friends or friendly. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting experience. It takes a lot to be able to kind of understand the group and the many personalities and how things are. And, you know, I really wish that Alex would have been there this summer. And I think he deserved to be there. I think that, you know, over time he was starting to understand people's personalities and understand, you know, kind of how our group is and how things work and becoming more comfortable. Cause it's a really, like I said, it's not an easy group to fall into. And it takes time. So I really wish that Alex had another summer in the Hamptons for sure.
When you joined the house, was it like there's this underlying understanding, like you have to take the back seat. These are the dominant personalities. This is really our show and you should be grateful that you're part of it.
You know, I never look at it as a show and anything I do. I think the more real you are as a human being, the better that is, the more real you are. It's like when you, in the sense of like, I never thought like, oh, this person's this and there's this personality and there's this and that. This was myself. And you either love me or hate me or I'm good for your TV or I'm not, or you want to cover my life or you don't or whatever. At the end of the day, it's about literally just living and being yourself and hanging out with your friends. And if you can do that, I always think that it's the same thing in acting when you can learn to be private and public. I always say, in front of the camera and live in a moment and allow yourself to be vulnerable and play a character, but be private. When you can do those things, that's when the people that see it are actually really entertained because they're connected to you. When you listen to good music, you listen to people because you relate to the songs, you relate to the music. And I think the same thing works with TV. The more real you are and the more you're just yourself, the better that is. And I think that when it comes to TV, when people premeditate or things, you know, they're not themselves. It's horseshit and bullshit. And quite honestly, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, anyway, that's just my thought on that, I guess. I don't know.
When you look at the show, do you feel like you can be more successful in terms of screen time if you're in a relationship? Because when you were kind of like with Hannah, you were on the TV show all the time. But in the later seasons, you were much more independent. Do you feel like, you know, the couples that are on the show certainly get more screen time than those that are kind of living a life without someone tethered to them?
You know, That's an interesting question. I don't really have a comment on that. I have opinions and things I could say, but like for me, I think everybody brings something, and it's an ensemble cast. And I think it should always be, everybody participates no matter how much they're putting in, because, you know, one week somebody has something crazy going on in their life, the next they don't. And I don't think they should be penalized for it. And if they're not in a relationship, I don't think that's a bad thing, because people have real life issues and real life problems. And maybe their problem is that they're not in a relationship and they're looking to be in a relationship. Now, whether or not, that's something that, you know, is going to be on or whatever. There's things that are, like I said, are not in your control. If that makes sense. I don't know. Like I said, the main thing is it's an ensemble cast, and everybody brings something. But like I said, at the end of the day, the most important thing is being true and having real friendships and being cool with most everybody, I think.
So let me go through quickly a couple of people, and you tell me if you're going to keep in touch with them this summer, even though you're not filming. Sierra.
Possibly.
Okay. Lindsay and Carl.
Absolutely.
Kyle and Amanda.
Absolutely.
Paige and Craig.
Maybe one of them.
The girl or the guy?
I don't know. I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. Will you keep in touch with Maya?
Absolutely.
Alex?
Absolutely.
Is there one person that stands out to you as the person that, like, you will be talking to 35 years from now? Like, cracking a beer and, like, will be a ride or die for the rest of your life?
Yeah, there's a handful of them, actually. When you go through what we go through in the summer, I always tell people it's like your life was fast forwarded 15 years with those people in a matter of, you know, a couple months. And as you go through so much together and you know each other and become so comfortable with each other, where, like, even though there's like a love hate, there's always love. Right. And I think that there's just such a special bond that we all share and we all have. And I don't think that'll ever leave. Some of us are closer to others. But there still is a respect and love at the end of the day when it comes down to the nitty gritty. So I think there's a handful that for sure, I will be. And don't forget Danielle and Robert, because you didn't ask me about them.
Oh, Danielle and Robert, and also on Andrea. Will you keep in touch with them?
Yeah, I do. I actually adore the hell out of Danielle and Robert and love them dearly. And I think Andrea is a great guy. I mean, I was just with them in New York. They'll be friends forever. So.
Okay. Last questions before I ask you what you're up to this summer. Speed round. You ready?
Yep.
Are you looking forward to not having to drink copious amounts of alcohol and wake up in a puddle of your own vomit?
Absolutely. I don't think I ever woke up in a puddle of my own vomit. It may not have felt too good the next day, but who's saying I won't do that this summer?
Are you looking forward to not having to worry that you're waking up from bed and going to the shower and that you're filmed without wearing underwear?
I never cared about that, and I would happily be filmed naked going to the shower any day. It doesn't matter to me.
Are you looking forward to not having to worry about walking into a kitchen filled with other people's dirty dishes?
Yeah, I'm not going to miss that. I'm going to miss my friends and all the questions you ask me, no matter how bad it is or could be. I'm going to miss them so much to where I outside of saying the dishes comment, like saying I'm not... I wouldn't trade anything in the world from the time that I've had with them so far in my life, and even the crazy things that have happened or anything that may be negative, there's just way too much good and positive.
But there's not a part of you that's so happy you don't have to have another theme party right now. Like, you don't have to pack for like gladiator night or another junior prom night.
I don't know if you noticed, but I kind of got into the theme stuff.
That's funny. Well, tell everybody what you're going to working on right now.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, I'm talking to you in the car because I have a meeting right now with a grocery store on selling my syrup, and then I've got distributor meetings with that. I'm working on trying to get it throughout grocery stores and stuff in the Midwest and then build off of that to get to each coast. I'm trying to do that because I want to get it straight to the consumers so they don't have to wait and get and then have to pay Wish for shipping and stuff, which will bring down costs a bit, which is something I really want to do. And then I am working on development of a beer. So I have a meeting with a brewery actually today. And then, I'm going to Canada this summer because I'm producing two films, which I'm also acting in. And my production and financing and stuff is I'm working with. My team is up there. And so I have a lot of meetings. I'll be up there a bit this summer. And then I'm actually about to start filming something as soon as I get done with you as well. Working on a pilot, which I can't get too in depth about, but it may have something to do with like a lake maybe and some stuff like that.
Shocked. That's great.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be seeing you guys sooner than later on some more TV stuff.
Well, I'm going to let you go. Good luck to you and keep us in the loop.
Yeah, we'll be in touch. Okay. Hopefully I'll be seeing you soon. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Luke. I want to thank my great guests, Dan and Luke, and remind you guys to click subscribe, leave a 5-star review, get those tickets to the Irvine Improv live podcast show of mine on July 13th. Get your tickets at improv.com. Join the Facebook group Reality Life with Kate Casey. Follow me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet about shows and during shows all week long. You want to check out my Instagram at Kate Casey CA and my TikTok, which is It's Kate Casey, to check out what I'm watching this week and my list of the must-watch things that you've got to watch each week. So if you go to katecasey.substack.com, you can get that list in your email box every Monday. Don't miss out on that. And also, you can check out my bonus episodes, which will include an interview with a gem of a gal who, it turns out, knows my dad. The story unwinds more. And my dad keeps calling me, and I think I'm going to call him tomorrow and try to record it. And I'm going to find out whether or not he was involved with the murder of those Irish band members in 1975 in Ireland. I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Fair warning, he's a little bit cuckoo bird crazy. Loobity-doo, if you will. So we're going to take it with a grain of salt, but I really do believe there's some connection there. So go to my Patreon to listen to all the episodes about that. Go to Patreon, patreon.com. Lots of people in my orbit are like, this is like playing out like a documentary, and I kind of feel like it is too. So make sure you check that out. As always, I'm hoping you have a great week. Have a great 4th of July. Make sure you check out next week's episodes, and I hope that you have a fantastic weekend.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? Spoiler alert, it's neither. At Happy Egg, we believe happiness of the hens is what actually came first, because without happy hens, there would be no such thing as happy eggs. You know, eggs with delicious orange yolks. Those come from hens who are raised the happy way on 8+ acres of family-owned farms. Choose happy at happyegg.com and look for the yellow carton at a store near you.
Happy
Egg.